The responsibility at Allentown was for final development. The work that our output finally was specifications, procedures, methods of fabrication in a specification detail supplied to the Western Electric. We would supply process specifications that Western Electric was expected to adhere to, and it would be used as the Bible if things didn't go right. And a commonplace of such work was that a really smart and experienced Bell Laboratories director in that work would, when confronted with a problem and a quarrel about the what it meant, would ask to see issue one of the drawings, because the Western Electric would commonly change them. And sometimes they would change them in a way that made no sense. And if you looked at issue one, you could see where the real differences were. And of course, there are a number of variables interacting in the fabrication of semiconductors is so large that it is very easy from fragmentary evidence to make a move from a previously found optimum point to a nearby point, which may look okay, but soon proves to be not quite it. And then another set of data can lead you to still another point. And you're wandering all over the place. And the further off you get, the worse it is. It's not nice. And there's no substitute for orderly experimentation. So that was basically the job. And in that, I had an extraordinary opportunity to play a part in transistors and integrated circuits. My responsibilities there involved everything from old vacuum tubes and gas tubes to transistors and even, I guess, some MOS devices. I'm not quite sure about that one, but transistors and certainly bipolar integrated circuits. And I had some MOS stuff as well. Well, the most useful thing I did in that time was propose to my department heads, after I'd been there less than a year, that we assume that we would solve the problem of sealing silicon devices against moisture and against ion attack, that somehow we would arrange it so that we could encapsulate them in plastic rather than in vacuum-tight containers. That went along through the summer of 1965 and early autumn with indifferent results. There were various modifications of silicon dioxide, none of which were fully acceptable. Phosphorating the glass seemed to help by providing some sort of ion barrier, but it had a little problem. It tended to make the glass hygroscopic, and phosphoric acid is not anything you want around metals. Things sat there. We were working away at it, and Jim Godfrey, department head in charge of the chemical area, I think at the time, came back from a technical meeting, Electrochemical Society, and said that IBM had revealed the story on a new material, silicon nitride, which was absolutely beautiful. It was totally impervious to ions, even in rather thin layers, a few hundred angstroms, just really impervious. It did have a problem, however. It was unetchable. And Jim laughed, and I said, "What are you laughing about?" He said, "Well, the unetchable material is like the immovable object and the irresistible force. In what relation, Jim? It doesn't exist.